Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we are going to jump right into the sermon tonight. We have been teaching on the topic of wisdom. I, for 4 or 5 weeks, had a little kind of sub-series on characteristics of unwise people. Before that, we spent 2 weeks on characteristics of wise people. And tonight, we are going to talk about teaching children or new converts or teaching anyone really on how to be wise. And I want to help you with something. Now, look at me before we read the scripture here. Wisdom, we gave many definitions, but the easiest and probably the most applicable to remember is being able to see life as God sees it. Viewing life from God's point of view. People say, well, the Christian life is just so hard. It is when you look through your eyes. When you look through God's eyes, it makes more sense. As a child, you don't understand why mom and dad say do what mom and dad say do. When you become a parent, you say, I know why they said that now. And you begin to see it as they saw it. And wisdom is much the same, beginning to look at life as God sees it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I was still a child. No, I put away childish things. I did that for my wife. I want you to notice the term child here. And God said, when we are young, when we're children, we think like children, we understand as children, we speak like children. But when we become a man, when we mature, when we grow up, we're supposed to do those things as a mature adult person should do them. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. Let me define a few things here. A child is a simple person. Oh, let's see here. James, come on up here for a second. Well, you know what? You're too big. Let me borrow him. Come on up here. Yeah, I'm not going to make you talk, all right? You're not like your mother. You won't just babble. Life is pretty simple for him. Say, what do you mean? He gets up when he's told to get up, or maybe before. He goes from toy to toy, meal to meal, thing to thing, does whatever somebody tells him to do, and that's pretty much his life. He doesn't have to worry about paying the bills. He doesn't have to worry about going to work every day. He doesn't have to worry about taking care of everybody else. He doesn't even have to worry about smiling, does he? He doesn't have to worry about anything. You know, he's not worried about what's going on in Ukraine right now with Russia. He's not worried about what's going on in Iraq. You say, why? He's simple. He's a child. Thank you, buddy. You can have a seat. All right? Now look at me, if you will. Ooh, that was your dad's fault. All right. Now, the word simple in the Greek means unfolded. It means having no folds. Now, listen to me very carefully. It means not complex. It means unmixed. Silly, sincere. It means without deceit. Pretty well describes a child, doesn't it? Their minds are pretty simple. They're unfolded. They're uncomplicated. Listen very carefully. The word unfolded is a very interesting word. Now, I'm not going to get gross. I'm not going to get real technical, but I need to describe something. How many of you have ever even seen a picture of a brain before? All right? Most of you, that's all you've ever seen. All right? But doctors, physicists, biologists will tell you that the human mind is, in a child, there are very few folds in it. And the older a person gets and the more knowledge they get, the more folds go into the brain. That is exactly why God uses the term simple, because it means unfolded. without knowledge. The more things you learn, the more twisted up your brain gets in your head. All right? Some of you have a very twisted mind, I understand. But, right, Mrs. Moore? But not twisted in that sense. I'm talking about physically twisted, all right? Some of you, it's in knots and can't get anything out of there. But, now, a child's brain has very few folds in it. He has not yet learned all he needs to do what an adult person does. He doesn't need to worry about going to work tomorrow so that he can make the money to pay the bills. He doesn't even know what the house payment means. The electric bill, the gas bill, water and sewer bill, trash bill. He doesn't even understand what those are. He hears it said, but really doesn't understand it. So, the Bible says, when you become an adult, you need to put away the simplicity of childhood. Now, teenagers, listen very closely right here, okay? The process of maturing is the proper folding of the brain so you can give to others what has been given to you your whole life. That is exactly what maturing means. By the way, that's why welfare destroys a nation. Now listen to me very carefully. Welfare keeps people simple because they don't need to grow up and provide for anyone else. Look at Detroit, look at LA, look at Chicago, look at these welfare cities. After 70 years of welfare, why are they no better? If it's such a good program, why are they totally bankrupt in worthless, violent cities? Because the government has kept them simple so as not to think to become more dependent on the government so the government can get more money. That's all it is. Now, that was just for free. You teach a child maturity by teaching them to give to others what they are given. By the way, I'm not just talking finances. I'm talking they need to learn how to love someone and for someone to depend on their love. They need to learn how to give stability to someone. They need to learn how to give work to provide for someone else. Now, listen, the older you get, the more complex your life will become. My phone buzzed this afternoon or late this morning. And one of my sons said, last final is done, and it was successful. I said, yep, just wait. A couple more years, reality starts. I said, and then you'll be wishing you had college again. I said, learn well, because you're going to need all that you just was tested over. They look at that as being very, very complex. Shoot, 4 years of college would be nothing right now. Now, I don't want to go through it again. I agree. I already put my time. But I'm old enough now, I could do it a whole lot better and a whole lot more wisely. You see, I say it this way. It's our job to guide them to follow the folds or the patterns God has for their lives. As a parent, it's your job to guide your children and have them folded by God's pattern. As a soul winner, it's your job to guide people and fold them in the pattern so they can grow as a new Christian in Christ. Now, listen, it's a rewarding process when you complete it. I like saying it this way. It's like gold mining. You have to pick through an awful lot of dirt to get to a little bit of gold. But if you pick through enough dirt, you'll find the gold. And it'll be worth your picking through the dirt to get to the gold. And by the way, there is a simple process to teach this. Now, I want you to view it, though, from God's point of view, not what you've heard from everybody else in the world. Oh, it takes a village. No, it doesn't take a village. It takes a mom and a dad and a word of God, and they need to follow God's plan. If you want your children to grow and to mature and see life as God does, are they going to be perfect? No, they're your children. They're sinners just like you. Are they going to be totally wise? Are you? So I guess they won't have total wisdom. They'll have access to total wisdom. But it's not your job to give them all that wisdom. It's your job to put them into the right folds and to fold them in the right pattern so that they can learn from God what God has for them. Let me say it this way, and this is if you didn't get anything, get this. God does not make us to be robots. Stand up here for a second, Brother Smith. Brother Smith is a good man. He's one of our deacons. Brother Smith's a wise man. I believe that. He's one of our deacons. He has wisdom. Now, listen to me. Not always will Brother Smith and I see the same thing the same way. But we both approach it from the Word of God, and we can use wisdom. We have the same folds, but we're two different individuals. Does that make sense? Thank you. Have a seat. God did not make your children to be robots. He did not make your children to be a computer where whatever you type in, they puke it back out. God made them to be individuals. Each and every one of them are going to be different, if you haven't figured that out yet. And they're not supposed to be cookie cutters into a certain mold. Now, listen to this statement very carefully, and let me show you what I mean. Let's see here. Tony, can you come up here and help me for a second? Brother Smith, you and Tony, pull this out, stretch that thing out on this side of the platform. Levi, Brother York, can you leave your kids long enough? All right. Here, fold that thing out. Put the other side out. There you go. You guys, you two stand over here. One of you might have to go down. You two stand over here. If you mess these up, Mrs. Eckerd's going to kill you. Now, let me show you something. Do you realize that both of these quilts look totally different, don't they? But they're the same pattern. They are the same pattern, but they look totally different. They've used different colors of material. The bands are different. Stitching's a little different. They don't even really look like the same quilt, but it is the identical same pattern. Just lean those up against the rails. We'll come back to it. Just throw it on my seat there. Just don't get it in the water or you're in trouble. She'll baptize you and not let the bubbles. Now, listen to me for a second. That is exactly the way your children are to be. They're to be a same pattern for wisdom, but not look identical. Too many parents want robots for children, not individuals. Now listen to me very carefully. Children need to learn to obey. Obedience, though, without the, listen to this, obedience without the ability to make decisions becomes robotic. That's over here. Then you have over here people who don't make their children obey, and they can decide whatever they want. And decision making with no obedience doesn't do any better either. Somewhere there has to be both. Now, if I had to choose one or the other, I'll take the obedience over the decision making. But if you want to teach wisdom, wisdom says, I'll give you the pattern. I'll let you make decisions within a realm of right. Now, let me show you what I mean. No two people are exactly the same. When my children were growing up, and they were smaller. When they were little critters, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, often my wife would pull out 2 or 3 boxes of cereal or something in the morning. And she would say, because we had talked about it, which one do you choose? Now, none of them were a bad choice. They could choose anything there. But once they made their decision, they had to stay with it. They couldn't get through partway through a bowl of cereal and say, well, I don't want this one now. I want that one. Too bad. So sad. You're going to eat it. You're dead. Say, what was that? We taught them obedience and making decisions. If they didn't like it, they didn't choose it the next time. But neither was a bad decision. Everybody understand that? I know that's a real simple illustration, but it's very effective. I taught my children how to make decisions by letting them choose between many rights, not right and wrong. I didn't say you can drink Pepsi or you can drink beer. Say, oh, I'd never do that. Some of you, though, if they don't do exactly what you say, that's all you want. And you're creating a robot. Now, there were certain times we didn't give them a choice. You know, Mama didn't give them all the choice. When Mama made supper, you ate what was there. Don't like it? Fine, don't eat it, but you're not eating till the next meal. That's just the way it was. Say, you shouldn't do that, okay? You don't, but I did. No two people are the same. Not all wisdom appears to be the same because it's portrayed with different personalities. Listen to this statement. Though it may be the same pattern for wisdom, you might say, well, you're just not the same as. You're right. God did not intend me to be. Do you know that? I'll give you the list of four men here that I have in my outline. I love and I respected Dr. Jack Hiles. What a man of God. And I loved him as my pastor. I loved him as my boss. I love Brother Owens. What a man. I worked with him for 17 years. And a man of wisdom. I have a friend out in New Jersey, Brother Jim Gelhausen. What a good man. Man of wisdom. Dear friend of ours, he's preached here for me, Brother Kevin Arcola. What a good man. Now, wait a minute. Do you realize all five of us have wisdom, but it doesn't always come out the same way because we're five different personalities? Can I tell you something? We were all trained in the same place. We all had the same pattern. We all used the same book. Everybody doing okay?
Yes. Good.
God did not want robots. He wanted individuals. Be careful you don't turn your children into computers, where you push the button and expect every one of them to do exactly the same. Because that's not what God intended. Now, tonight, I want to show you how you teach young people, how you teach children, how you teach new converts, how to be wise. Take your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. This is a very simple outline. The introduction was far more complex, but I want to help you. Are you ready? James chapter 1. Boy, parents, if you're getting this, you're getting something, I promise you. James chapter 1, look at verse number 19. I'm sorry, verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Watch this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every, what's the next word? Man. Okay, that means mature person, right? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Huh. When I became a man, I put away childish things. That means a child would be slow to hear, swift to speak, and swift to wrath. God says when you become a man, you're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So it's our job to teach how to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. By the way, that's your outline for tonight. You ready? Here we go. Swift to hear. The word swift means prompt, timely, without delay. But it means one more thing that most people don't think. It actually means professional. It literally means accomplished. You watch a good baseball player and we'll say, boy, that was a really swift move. That was a swift throw. Not necessarily fast, but it was accomplished. It was honed in. It was just right. And God says we need to become professional hearers. Now, can I tell you something? Boys and girls, you're supposed to listen to your parents. Not just hear the words they say, but listen to what they say. By the way, you're supposed to listen to your school teachers. You're supposed to listen to your Sunday school teacher. Say, well, I know more about the Bible than my Sunday school teacher. No, you don't. There is no 9-year-old that knows more about their Bible than Brother Ron does. I'll promise you. Not a one of you. You might be able to quote more verses, but I'll promise you, he spends more time in his Bible than any 9-year-old does. Say, well, I don't believe it. I don't care what you believe. I know what the truth is. I hate saying this, but you're supposed to listen to the preacher. There are times God gives the man of God wisdom to help you with something when you don't agree. May I help you, parents? You should help your children learn to listen to all authority. All authority, not just your authority. We're living a generation where some children will only obey their mom and dad and not obey all authority. All three of my kids, I've taught them to drive. Almost done with the third one, amen? Before they started driving, I taught them that if they ever were stopped by a police officer, how to handle themselves. Not by example either. But I've taught them exactly how to handle themselves. I told this story. I tell these stories to my kids. I was driving. Brother Owens and I were going hunting in Rensselaer, Indiana. It was a 58-minute drive from my driveway to where we were hunting. I was on I-65 South. It just started raining. I mean, just drizzly rain. Speed limit was 65. I was doing 65 miles an hour. Now, mind you, I got hunting clothes on, knife on my hip. We got stuff in the back of the car, and we're toodle-a-bopping down the road. I look up, and there is a state trooper with his lights on behind me. He said, "You weren't speeding." I said, "I know." I pulled over. Trooper walked up. I had my hands on top of the steering wheel. I was always taught, keep your hands where they can see them. There is a reason for that, amen? I rolled my window down. He said, "Sir, I am not pulling you over because you were speeding. I'm trying to slow traffic down." I thought, oh, be doggone. He said, "I am going to write you a written warning so I can keep my lights on a little while." He said, "It's just starting to rain." He said, "I'm trying to slow traffic down." He said, "You were not speeding. This is not going on your record." He said, "But I am going to ask you to step out of the vehicle and come to my car." I said, "Sir, before I move my hands, before I move anything but my mouth," I said, "I'm in hunting clothes." And he said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I have a hunting knife on my right hip. I had a pair of camo one-piece jobbers on." I'm thinking, oh, man, coveralls. I said, "I'm not moving until you tell me what to do with this knife." He says, "Sheathed?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Anybody willing to tell me that they got it there?" He said, "Just don't reach for it." I said, "Sir, trust me. My only problem is my wallet's on this side, and I got to." He said, "It's okay. When you get out," he said, "we'll take care of that." I said, "I just
I said, there's bows in the back, there's arrows back there, you want to look at it? He said, nope, I trust you. He said, what was that? That was respect for the police officer. I taught my children that. You say, why? Because I didn't want to get shot. Matter of fact, I'd rather get shot than tased, amen? Forget that stupid electricity jump. Put me out of my misery with the bullet in a hurry. Now, wait a minute. Children need to learn how to listen carefully, quickly, without delay, professionally. You need to teach your children to look at somebody that's talking to them. There's a reason I demand people listen to me when I preach from time to time. Every once in a while, somebody's just sitting there just, and I'll say, hey, look at me. You say, why? Because then I know you're listening. Most of you parents tell your children to do something, but you don't see their eyeballs to know if they're listening. And by the way, the younger the person, the more you're probably going to need them to repeat back the instructions so that you know they got it. And yesterday, I asked my daughter to do something for me that was of a bit more importance and criticality, so to speak, to me. I gave very step-by-step clear instruction. I made her look at me. And then about a minute later, I had her repeat back. About 2-3 minutes later, she said, what about? And I said, what did I tell you? I was not upset. I just said, what did I tell you? Well, I'm just making, I said, good, what did I tell you? Say, what was that? I'm making sure she was listening. I wanted to make sure it was done and done right because it was very, very, very important to me that it was done exactly the way I said. Now, nobody was going to die, but it was important. Everybody understand? Okay, hang in there. By the way, you better learn how to give instruction that can be followed. Yes. Parents, sometimes you punish your children because you give bad instructions. Well, I meant to say, a child doesn't know what you mean to say. They're going to do what you say. Sometimes. You know, you can't obey or make a decision unless you've heard the instruction first. You know, it's very difficult to make a good decision if you did not hear the instruction first. By the way, that's why you shouldn't believe first reports. Well, an eyewitness said. So what? Let's wait till the trial's over. We'll find out what really happened. Boy, that's good. By the way, that's why institutions have handbooks. They have handbooks so they write down the rules so that the rules can be followed and everybody knows what those rules are. That's why you teenagers have to read the DMV handbook and pass a test before you can start driving. There are certain rules and laws everybody must do. They don't do it after they pass the test, but they're supposed to. By the way, some of you do you good to list offenses and the punishment in your house so that it's the same every time. Some of you only punish your children when it irritates you bad enough. And then you wonder why they keep doing it. And then you wonder why they rebel, because sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It needs to be every time that it's the offense, it's the same thing. Everybody doing good? Okay, here we go. By the way, don't be afraid to point out to your children people in public that are not behaving appropriately. I have walked through the store before and seen some kid acting like a demon. By the way, there's been times mine did and others were walking through the store saying, don't do that. Okay? We're all been there. But I've seen it. And I'd look at one of my kids and say, that's what you look like when you do that. You want to look like that? No, sir. Okay. By the way, it's not wrong for you to go through public places and say, that's the way it should be. We're so quick to point out the wrong, how about point out the right? Everybody doing okay? All right. So, be swift to hear. Then, slow to speak. I used this a couple weeks ago. God gave you 2 eyes, 2 ears, and 1 mouth. He wanted you to look and listen 4 times as much as he wanted you to talk. Unfortunately, people talk four times as much as they look or listen. The word slow means heavy, delayed, taking longer than expected, not hasty. It literally means, and please don't snicker because this is a musical term, but it means retarded. In music, the word retard means to slow down. If you see in music, sometimes even in the hymnal, you'll see the R-I-T period, and it means it is to slow down right there. The word retarded used to be a word used for special needs people because their mind did not work as quickly as others. It didn't used to be a bad word. It's become politically an unacceptable word, but it's musically a correct term. Okay? And by the way, I'm not for calling someone that in you can call somebody a derogatory name no matter what it is. Now, we need to teach children to think before they speak. Boy, that's a good statement.
Yes.
Let me go back to the cereal illustration. Here's three boxes of cereal. There's three kids. Which one do you want? That one. Are you sure? Yes. If you take it, you're going to eat it all, right? Yes. Good. There you go. Which one do you want? You say, what happens when the cereal's poured out? They eat it. Period. They made their decision. Now, they might change it all three times, if it's a girl, six times, okay? But they might change it a lot, but when they finally put it in the bowl, that's when the decision has to be followed through, okay? I wasn't against them changing their mind. Now, there does come a point in time where you just got to say, okay, now or never, okay? And I understand that. But let me say this, teach them to choose between rights, not right and wrong. Once they choose between rights, teach them to follow through with their decision. Book reports. God have mercy on book reports. I don't know who invented them, but I hate them. But because everybody needs to learn how to read, you got to learn how to read. And the only way you know how you read is being able to put down on paper what you read in your own words. I understand that. Oh, we've gone through this. Get a kid a book. I don't like that one after they've read 20 pages. Let's go get another one. No. You choose the book now. You're going to read it. I didn't let my kids get out of it. I really didn't. Once they chose it, they chose it. Now, I think one time one of my kids got a book from the library and they said, Dad, I don't think I should read this. Dad, I don't think you'd agree with it. And let me see. Nope, you're not reading that one. I think it's the only time I changed in the middle of something. Say, why? Because there was something inappropriate in the book. Now, can I tell you something? Teach them the responsibility of making the decision by following through with the decision. That teaches wisdom. That teaches wisdom. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Put the responsibility on them and teach them to think before they tell you what they want. You know, we need a generation who learns how to think before they speak. If we did, we wouldn't say things in the heat of the moment of an argument that we regret. Can I tell you why your children do it? Because they watch you do it. They watch people get angry, out of control, say things, and they're allowed to get by with it. It's okay if I do it, but you're not allowed to do it. Oh, no. Children are often not good at doing what you say, but they rarely fail in repeating what you do. Are you doing all right? Okay, that one hurt, didn't it? We need to teach our children to respond with kind, respectful words. I still think it's right for children to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I still do. I'm 47 years old. Brother Stoltz and I were sitting in a man's house here a couple weeks ago, and I kept saying, sir, 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 back to him, and he said, you're going to have to call me by my first name. I can't take that anymore. I said, I can't help it. He said, I know I was taught that way, but it just, I said, I can't help it. It's going to come out. I said, I'm almost 47 years old. My dad's a deacon in my church, and if he heard me not say it, he'd probably slap me upside the head. I said, it just, it'd been inbred in me. I said, I can't help it. Can I tell you something? You ought to teach kids not to curse. That means they shouldn't hang around people that do. You know, they shouldn't be around people that are critical with their mouth. That means they shouldn't be listening to critical people talk, whether it's you or somebody else. And by the way, I'm not afraid to say this. I think you ought to teach your children not to be tattlers too. There's a difference in tattling and revealing something that's going to hurt somebody. Big difference. Tattling means you're going to go tell mommy so you can watch them get in trouble. Okay, that's called evil. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Whew. Man, sucked the air out of the room on that one. Okay, get your steel-toed boots on. Here comes a statement we're all going to say ouch on. If you talk to God more than people, you'd talk to people better. If you talk to God more than you talk to people, you would talk to people better. Let me ask you a question. How do you talk to God? Swift to hear, slow to speak. Everybody breathe. Slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Now, the Bible doesn't say have no wrath. I want you to notice it doesn't say no wrath. It says slow to wrath. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. So there is a time and an appropriateness to anger. But listen to this. Losing your temper means you have no control of it. Did you catch that? Losing your temper means it's gone. Temper means hardening. It means that restraint. Means you've heated and cooled something and heated and cooled it to where it's stronger. When you're in a rage, you're not stronger. You're out of control. Don't punish your child when you're out of control. Send them to your room or send yourself to your room or send both of you to your rooms till you have calmed down and can handle it under control. I am for spanking children when it's done in a controlled fashion, not when you lose your temper. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
You see, planning your anger is different than losing your temper. I've dealt with Christian education for good night, 25 years almost. As a teacher, administrator, some shape, form, fashion, or another, I've been involved in Christian education a long time. There have been times I'd issue demerits. Didn't work. I'd move this person. That didn't work. I'd do this. It didn't work. I would then say, next time this happens, I will throw a fit. I planned it. I waited for it to happen, and then I, as Brother Hiles would say, throwed a fit. I done cut loose on it. But I made sure it was planned. Everybody understand the difference? I tore into a student one day, a young lady one day, years and years and years and years and years ago. Here's what happened, though. 10 days before then, I sat in the preacher's office and said, preacher, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this. I've been working 2.5 years on this situation. I said, I really think there's only one thing left, and that's for me to just throw a flat-out fit, raise my voice, and get upset. He said, you have it planned? I said, yes, sir. This is what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it. This is what I'm going to do. He said, good. He said, you do realize? I said, yep, Mama will be in your office within hours, but it'll be okay. So 10 days after that conversation, it took place. I raised my voice, and I let her fly. And I was right. Within hours, we were back in the office with Mama. And do you know what the preacher said? He looked at her and said, man, before you open your mouth, let me tell you this. That man planned that 10 days ago, sitting in that chair. He did not lose his temper. He has tried everything else. Now what would you like to say? Problem solved. Now wait a minute. I didn't say there weren't times in the 2.5 years before then I didn't want to lose my temper. Oh, I wanted to lose it a lot. I couldn't. Everybody understand the difference? You see, losing it means you don't have control of it. Being angry and sinning not means you have control of it. There were times I'd had to send my kids to the room, wait till I calmed down, let my wife calm me down, go take a walk, run 20 miles, do something, you know. Come back, be in control, and make it happen. See, you need to teach your children how to handle their anger. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a boy that doesn't have a temper. But at the same time, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a boy that couldn't control his temper. They need both. They need to learn how to defend their mama. There will be certain things they're going to fight for. Period, end of discussion. You're going to hurt my mama, you're going to go through me. Like it or lump it. For me, if you're going to hurt my friends, you're going to go through me. I'll stand for my friends. I'll fight for my friends to the end. And by the way, I've proven that through the years. I'll fight for the man of God. I'll fight for doctrine. One of my children, one day, one of his friends was getting picked on at school, and he hauled off and clobbered somebody. I mean, just clobbered him, knocked him right off the bleachers. He got sent to my office. I said, what happened? He told me. I said, as your principal, I pulled out a green piece of paper and gave him demerits for fighting. He said, oh. I said, let me see it. He handed it to me. I said, as your dad, I'm going to sign these. I walked over and put my arms around him and said, I'm proud of you. I said, some things are worth getting demerits for. Go back. By the way, he got the demerits and they stayed. As his principal, I issued justice. As his daddy, I was proud of him. He stood up for one of his friends. Did he do it the right way? That one needed clobbered. Word got out. Didn't have to do it ever again. Everybody understand? There are some things in life worth fighting for. You come the wrong way up to my wife or my daughter or my mom, my dad, you've got a fight on your hands. You go up against a man of God, you're going to have a fight on your hands with me. You go up against that book, you're going to have a fight on your hands. I promise you. You go up against one of my church members, I'm going to fight. I really will. But can I say this? You can say whatever you want about me. It doesn't bother me. I don't fight for me. You can call me everything, say everything, lie about me. It's been said, it's been written about, it's been prophesied, whatever. I don't care. Say why? I'm not fighting for that. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, person with uncontrolled temper messes up many lives. The word wrath means hot, fiery. It's like a forest fire. It's out of control. You better teach children how to be slow to wrath. It was taught to me very early in life. I've got a long fuse, but once it goes off, look out. There's a lot stored up in there. My brother's about 3.5 years older than me. He is the biggest pest in the world. And he loves to push my buttons. I couldn't have been more than, what, 4 or 5 years old, maybe. My brother had pushed and 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 pushed. I chased after him. But I grabbed the hoe to chase after him. And I'm swinging a hoe at him at 4 years old, chasing him down the front yard, down the sidewalk. He goes out in the street. Well, I knew if I went out in the street, I was going to get beat. He's out in the street, and I'm hollering, "Chris is out in the road." And here I am with a hoe, you know. And you come in here, I'm going to kill you. I don't know if it was my mom or my dad. Next thing I know, the hoe's gone, and I was getting beat. I'm thinking, wait a minute, he's in the road. I'm not. Good night. I learned how to control my temper a little better, amen? Whew. My niece had a baby at 2 o'clock this morning. My brother texted me about 7:30 this morning. He said, 2:06, the baby was born. Grandpa's not doing so well on 3 hours of sleep. I texted back, ha, 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 keeping my hours now. Say, what was that? Pushing his buttons now. Can I tell you something? Teach children to be slow to wrath. Teach them there are some things worth getting upset about. Get mad at sin, but not at the sinner. Get mad at things that hurt people, but don't hurt people to hurt people. Bible says, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. By the way, don't forget, same pattern, but individual look. Each of your children need to learn how to make decisions with their obedience, but they're not all going to be the same. Let's not turn them into cookie-cutter robots. Let's not turn them into computers. Let's give them that individuality. By the way, give men of God individuality. Let us use the personality God gave us with the same pattern. It'll be okay. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you really listened tonight, there's a generation of young people who could miss out on an awful lot of problems, an awful lot of grief. A generation of parents here that could benefit from what was said. A generation of grandparents that could help still. I don't know the need in your life, but you do.